You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our thanks to the great Jan Stenerud, Hall of Fame kicker, part of the last NFL championship team for the Kansas City Chiefs.
And, Hall of Fame storyteller, too.
Great storyteller and great guy as well. Peach of a guy.
What a prince.
What a humble guy. I'm going to tell you, he may not like this, but I'm going to say that I was chastised for not. He said, listen, I want to talk about my teammates. It's not about me.
Exactly.
And just speaks to the kind of guy that he is. Yeah. It's all right. We'll talk. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll talk to your teammates and we'll talk about them then. Yeah. But Jan played such a 9-0.
By the
way, he was the first great kicker.
A lot of their team, too. A lot of the guys with him off that team. They're all pretty damn humble. I mean, you meet a guy like Curly Culp, and he won't even tell you he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And you have to push Jan a little bit. Lenny, he doesn't talk about the Hall of Fame. Ed Buddy, who should be in the Hall of Fame, doesn't talk about his achievements. All those guys, Jim Lynch, they were all very humble.
Yeah.
By the way, Jan looks like he could still pop one through from 40, doesn't he?
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. In great shape. And was poo-pooing his golf game where he's a 7.
Yeah. And you know what? He was talking to two guys. They were the wrong guys to talk to because he didn't suck us in, but he could go to a golf club and say, yeah, I'm a 7, and then all of a sudden, oh, he's a 3.
Yeah.
Turns out those guys have the touch gene.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's like Zach Greinke.
That's
right. I mean,
kickers and pitchers.
Jan has won. He's won several club championships. The one at Melbourne Country Club, he's won that championship. He was vying for the championship where you go every year, Seren, out top.
The American Century
Championship. Yeah, he was vying for that championship. So he's a tremendous athlete, I think. All around.
I would agree. All right. Our thanks again to Jan Stenerud of the Kansas City Chiefs, of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, of the Super Bowl IV Championship Kansas City Chiefs. 913-3-810-810. You can grab a line. We'll get to some Stump the Chumps coming up in our next segment. Give you an opportunity to win gift cards from Hen House. You could be doing some shopping for the big game at Hen House. All you got to do is Stump the Chumps. First, though, time for us to get to something that's more than headlines. Headlines are one thing, but when you go to a whole completely, entirely different level, we call it Jedlines. That's what we come together for. Peter Yates Enoch with us, author, historian, man about town, guy who covered
Super Bowl IV. Thank you for including me in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks
that.
For coming in.
It was great
Thanks
to
for
see
coming
you.
In. Let's get to some Jedlines. Jed, where do we begin, my friend?
Let's start in the world of the NBA. We all saw that Zion Williams made his much-anticipated debut last night.
Maybe even Williamson.
What did I say?
Zion Williams?
You guys come in here, answer all the phones, and then be prepared to do this.
Yeah, I know.
I was doing that 20 years ago.
I thought it was funny how we've talked about manpower-wise, how we do these things, and I thought it was funny. There's no help on a moment like this. But wasn't it funny how many people were suddenly available when Jan Stenerud was here?
I did think that was quite ironic.
We're not that worried about the product
that goes out
99% of the time. But Jan Stenerud stopped by, and suddenly management and those around the building felt 20 people were warranted to be here then. Now, here we sit. We're still here. And no, it's abandoned ship. You can do it with 3, Jed, I've been told.
That's what I've heard.
There you go.
Zion Williamson made his much-anticipated debut for the New Orleans Pelicans last night, scoring 17 straight, ending with 22. Was the anticipation worth the wait?
I mean, he was, what was he, 2 in the first half, 20 in the second?
Yeah, he had 22 points in about 11 minutes. He did cruise off there in the second half.
Never worth the anticipation, I don't suppose. I mean, it was worth it when he rattled off 20 in the second half, right? That kind of brought it back.
17 consecutive, man.
I don't know. For me, it was because I guess my expectations weren't as high. I heard some people be like, he looks fat. I think he actually does. I think he actually looks like he needs to. You know, I know how he's built. I know he's a thick guy, but he looked a little smooth, compared to the basketball
body.
Would
you watch him play again this year after that?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
His career scoring average now is only 22 a game. So
he has as many 3-pointers. Right? You want to comp number 1 overalls? He has as many 3-pointers in his career as Ben Simmons has in his career.
That's pretty good.
He's played a game Ben Simmons has been, what, drafted for four, and he's playing in his third year?
Because
he sat
right
out that first year with the
ben
knee
Simmons
or whatever.
Ben Simmons played in 204 games.
Yeah. So, yeah, in his third year, he sat out that first year, and he's all caught up.
Yep.
So I'll take Zion in the Zion-Ben Simmons career three-point line. I'm going to go that. Oh, yeah, fine. I'm fine. It was worth it. He's a dynamic player. Had a block shot. You know, you know, Derek Thomas used to walk like, you know, kind of had a gig. Like, God, is he hurt? You know, Zach Greinke'd stand on the mound fidgeting around. I'm like, God, is his back bothering him? What's going on out there? I think great athletes are just different.
Mm-hmm.
So they look different in how they go about doing everything. And you kind of wonder, but was I the only one that felt like, maybe it's just because he had the sleeve on the one leg. I'm like, is he kind of tugging that leg with him? Was I the only one that had that look?
I didn't notice it. Yeah.
What's his position, Serene, going to be in the NBA?
I think he should play a five, like Draymond Green plays the five. I think New Orleans should play small and play him at the five, create the mismatches. That's what the game's about right now. I don't want to see him trying to guard threes. That's for damn sure.
No, I'm with you. All right, next Jedline. Kobe Bryant was in the news recently saying that there are three WNBA stars who could compete in the NBA right now, saying that Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, and Elena Delle-Donne could all play at the NBA level. Your thoughts?
No.
I listen, I mean, I shouldn't be so quick because I was the one who argued with Mark Carmen about that I think Serena Williams, you know, would beat some of the men's players, and Carmen's like, she couldn't beat one player on the tour. I'm like, I just don't – I know the men's serves are like 145, and hers is like, what, 120, something like that. But I think her overall game, she could beat some of the men. I don't know at the NBA where size does play such a role. Yeah. Athletic size.
Explosiveness.
When we did the show together in 94, I challenged the gal from UConn, and she wouldn't play me. Who I can't remember her name now.
No, you didn't challenge her. You challenged.
I challenged Fortune, but I also challenged her.
You once, did, so. And you did offer to play Don with a lit cigarette and a scotch on the rocks in the other hand,
right? Exactly.
And said you would still beat him.
But I think I could have beat her too. And I.
But it wasn't.
What was her name?
No, I thought you were
Rebecca Lobo.
Lobo, exactly.
Was that what it was?
Exactly.
Lobo?
Yeah. I think she refused to. She didn't.
She
take
did
the
refuse.
Yeah. Well, no. We had a hell of an audience there. We stretched from.
Yeah.
From,
we stretched from Independence almost to Prairie Village. it was quite an audience.
Elena Delle-Donne is 6'5", so I mean she's got 5 inches in the other
great
two
female
women
player.
That she's talking about. But 6'5" puts you, what? It's
guard.
Wayne Selden is 6'5".
Yeah.
I mean,
who's the gal from KU? I think she could play for the Globetrotters.
Lynette Woodard.
Now, she could play.
I'm fine. I think it's a fun thing to kick around. I don't think I think tennis, which is more skill based than raw athleticism, you got a better shot at it. But I don't see it in the NBA.
Closer now than it was 20 years ago. I mean, the women's college game at its peak. When you watch teams like UConn, some of those teams, there's some athleticism you didn't see 20 years ago.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
It's still a long way.
No doubt, no doubt. Just like
still
the athleticism in the men's game is
right.
Giannis,
mm-hmm.
You know, LeBron, you know, got
6'9", 6'10"
guys. Porzingis at 7'3".
Because a guy 6'5", when I was in high school, a guy 6'5" was unheard of. We didn't have any. In the state of Kansas, we had like seven guys that were 6'5", and that was it.
You towered over people.
The whole state. I played center.
Yeah. Swatting shots right and left.
For God's sake.
Yeah, they'd fudge an inch on the height and call them 6.5 footers.
Next Jedline, we head to the world of the NFL. Robert Kraft was spotted out and about Tuesday in New York, and he gave Patriots fans hope, basically saying that he plans on keeping Tom Brady. When is Tom Brady ever going to retire?
I hate to rub it in.
He still has things to prove.
I think what he said was like he was getting in, and I don't know, he was getting into a car, and somebody yells out from
TMZ.
Yeah, like, are you going to re-sign Brady? Plan on it. You know, and then he jumps in his car. And that's been taken as, well, it's done. Yeah. Brady back to the Pats.
Heading for a little nightlife.
No. What was the question?
When will Tom Brady retire?
Not soon enough in my book.
Right.
You know, not soon enough. I've had enough of Tom.
I have to.
Although, I wouldn't mind. I take that back. Who wouldn't like to see Tom suck it up for the Chargers a couple of times, once here in Arrowhead? Come in with, you know, one weapon.
Go old Johnny Unitas on us, look real weird in a Charger uniform.
Exactly. The Chargers will be down to their third guard, their second center, their backup tackle like they always are. Why wouldn't it be a little fun to watch Tom Brady?
It's going to be fun, too, because according to this week's National Enquirer, Giselle is leaving him.
What?
Yes. So, and you know the National
Enquirer. So now we know why he's not retiring. Although he's the guy who's going to get paid in that deal, right?
Right. Yeah, right. Right.
Next deadline, one of the guys who is retiring is Eli Manning. We obviously heard a bunch of this. You guys have bandied it about once and for all. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
Wait a minute. Clarify something. Are you asking me, would I vote him in the Hall of Fame? Or are you asking me, is he going to get in the Hall of Fame?
Is he going to get in? Definitive decision.
Yeah, he's going to get in.
Oh, two MVPs?
Zero MVPs.
Well, I thought he had two in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl MVPs.
Well, I mean, just that alone is going to get him in.
Two championships as the quarterback of a New York franchise gets you in. Yeah. One gets you in.
Right. Oh, yes. Right.
See Joe Namath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
At least Namath had a couple of, he had one. He held a record for passing yards for a while. But
is Y.A. Tittle in?
Yes.
Yes.
Is Charlie Connolly in?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
I did hear a stat. He's the only quarterback in New York City history to have two championships.
That's probably right. Charlie Connolly.
I didn't realize Tittle only did he have one with
Tittle
the Niners.
Came from San Francisco. Right. No, they didn't win one out there.
He is
one
not there. In the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Connolly isn't. But
Richard Todd is in, right?
Yeah, he was first ballot.
Mark Sanchez is up for it next year, I think.
Al Doro.
Yeah, Al Doro. Who?
Al Doro's in.
But we said this yesterday that he won eight postseason
games. By the way,
if
Sanchez went in, would it be a statue of the butt fumble?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they would make the bust? Right. It'd be him, dole.
That he has eight postseason wins, and the Giants allowed 20 points or fewer in all eight of them. And even the games he lost, they rarely allowed more than 20 points.
Yeah, they actually debated this on Get Up this morning when I actually had gotten up and exercised, which is a miracle. In and of itself, right? But, Greenberg was rambling on about how everybody's ridiculous for even questioning whether or not he should be in. And what I didn't like was that, anyone who questions him is somehow saying he sucks.
Yeah.
Right? Questioning his Hall of Fame candidacy, you're saying he sucks and he didn't do anything. No, I get it. Yeah. He authored or was along with.
Yeah.
And had some great moments, two championships, and beating the Patriots, and that makes him a worthy conversation to talk about whether or not he's in the Hall of Fame. But if you come to the conclusion that he doesn't belong, it is not laughable, as I heard it discussed. I think it's one of the biggest, most frustrating things on why we can't get anything done, certainly even on getting instant replay right, but on bigger picture issues in this country that actually matter, is because if you're not 100% with me, you're 100% against me, and that is crap and why we can't get anything done.
Right. Yeah, he went to – he made the throw to Tyree was – I mean, he made a nice play getting out of the way from the rush, but that throw was up
two
for grabs.
Catches.
I could have thrown the ball to Plaxico Burress in that
Well,
in
that's
that
what Dominique Foxworth said.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that was cited as to why he's in was that pass play. It's like, well, then I guess David Tyree's going in as well because he's the guy who – pinned it against his helmet while falling to the ground.
It was a blind throw.
He doesn't.
The throw to Manningham and the second that throw along the sideline from the end zone. That's a brilliant throw and play. But that nothing. He did to me nothing special in that first Super Bowl.
I hear the INTs.
Just being on a good
team. The INTs are poo pooed away. He led the league in interceptions three times. Right. He threw a boatload of them. It's poo pooed away. You're gonna get more great plays from your receiver if you just throw them up for grabs. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably two or three great grabs from Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce left out there because Mahomes didn't just throw it up for freaking grabs. Now, he will sometimes. I'm convinced when Hill came back against, was it the Ravens? Where he just set one and Tyreek went up and jumped
him? Yeah, the fourth and
nine. I'm convinced that they said, we're going to show them, no matter what, throw this ball because we want them to know we're going to go deep.
Yeah.
I get it. There's a time and a place for that. But he would just throw it up for grabs all the time. No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Next deadline, we head to the world of Major League Baseball. As you know, the Major League Baseball has talked for a long time about whether they're going to use cameras and so forth to dictate balls and strikes. The Major League Umpires Union clarifies the statement, saying, quote, reports that Major League Baseball will use, quote, robo-umps to call balls and strikes in spring training games this year is completely inaccurate, which is good because we have some audio of what can happen when robots call things.
You seem like you have a nice chemistry.
I am a stabbing robot. Okay, I will stab you.
Oh, all right, no, okay. All right, all right. That's great, Tracy. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
What is that from?
It's from 30 Rock. Tracy Jordan going on with Conan. What do you guys think? Are these stabbing robot umpires a good idea?
Yes. Yes. Like, we determine whether or not the ball's in or out in tennis based upon, you know, if you want to bring it on slowly and have it be a challenge like they have in tennis, X number of challenges, fine. As long as it just immediately goes up on the Jumbotron for everyone to see the way it does in tennis. Right? I know not many people watch tennis, but if you watch the majors, which is all I watch, they immediately go up. Everybody looks up at a video board, and it gives a computer reenactment, and that is final. No crapping around looking at a video replay. Just show the computer reenactment, and that is final. Yep. Then I would listen to a challenge. Otherwise, we just need to see that every single pitch, and you live by that. And the batters and pitchers have to adjust at what is and is not a strike zone. Yes, we should have it. It's archaic. You know what else we should have? You know, you watch the EPL.
Yes.
Offsides is now a computer-generated line in the EPL. They have figured it out. How is the spot of the ball in the NFL still Humpty and Dumpty, tossing a ball 20 yards between each other, one of them kind of having a mark and the other one guessing at where it was and then measuring on that?
But always they have a those quarter 10-yard sticks. Sorry. Sophisticated.
We have robots. We trust robots to do life-saving, life-endangering surgeries. But we can't trust them calling balls and strikes. Who knows what could happen?
It's amazing that, like, when there's you know, somebody who has a potential neck injury, a spinal injury, we don't have the, like, two sticks with a piece of a canvas between it, a gurney, and they don't just run bouncing him clear across the field all the time. Because we still use two sticks and a chain to determine a first down. It's pathetic. Oh, it's the drama. Yes, that's what we're all tuning in for. A couple of middle-aged fat asses to waddle their way out and throw the sticks down and be like, nope, he's about a foot. Let me get my note card out. Remember that one?
Yes.
Can I fit it in there? Oh, nope, he's short.
You know, it's
a note card short.
Yeah.
I got a buddy who's a former naval, I don't know what he was, and played junior college football. And he's about 230 pounds of all muscle, and he refs at the highest level of college football. And he would kick my ass if he heard me talking about officials like this. But he can't hear me. So let me tell you this right now. They suck. The NFL refs, they suck. They're terrible. They're terrible.
They're terrible.
Last one to the world of the NHL. The Flyers mascot Gritty is involved in an investigation where he assaulted a young fan. That's not what I'm interested in. What the hell is Gritty?
Like, this is the one they just hatched, like, a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One that looks freaky.
You know, we do have to be careful about taking too many shots. Everybody loves him some KC Wolf, but it makes no sense.
It's a real animal.
It's from the Wolfpack section back in the day, right? That's where KC Wolf came from. Because I even remember my mom having the Chiefs gloves with the two fingers up in the ears of KC Wolf.
In the end zone.
Right? That's what it comes from. So it has heritage here. But everybody I know who's from someplace else goes, is that a raccoon?
Joe Namath said that on national television.
What's running around out there? So
one person knows who Gritty is, and you know who she is.
I don't.
Shirley Ellis.
Oh, okay.
The Nitty Gritty, she sang a best-selling song from 19. She knows who Gritty is.
You would go there, Pete. You would go there.
Or Grit newspaper.
1963.
I went out of my way to not pick the Antonio Bryant story. Or Antonio Brown
do
story.
It. Do it anyway. Do it anyway.
Oh, God.
Get it in here real quick.
Oh, God, the pig.
We'll leak a little long on the other end.
Antonio Brown is involved in a battery case. The long and short of it is he and his buddy, who has since been arrested but yet posted bail, Antonio Brown threw a rock through the driver of a moving truck's window, got the dude out of the truck and started beating the dude because he couldn't afford to pay his moving bill. When does he go away?
Hang on. So here's what I haven't heard yet, because I don't bother to read stories about Antonio Brown because I think it's a waste of my time.
Right.
But I've seen the crawl and stuff. If the guy's driving away, he wasn't being shaken down for the money, right?
He was driving away with Antonio Brown's possessions.
So his crap was still in the truck.
Yes.
I mean, listen, CTE's real. I mean, so maybe he's that's what the man's battling. I don't want to belittle, but whether it's medically, he is not right.
The pig has some serious.
It's certainly sad that it's unfolding so publicly. Like, for as awesome as it is for what we all get to do and play grab ass and do Jed lines, it is sad that people's lives actually do unfold like this in such a public way. Like, that's why I'm like, I just kind of want him to go away.
But it's also entirely possible that he's just been a world-class a-hole that has just grown in stature to the point that he thinks he can get away with it.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Not
I mean, he
saying
does want
that
attention.
He's completely
There's
without
no doubt
fault.
About that. And he's going to be starved of attention years from now when he's selling those pencils on the corner.
Pig pencils.
Oh, he's a little can.
Number
out
two.
There.
Number two pencils.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Out in front of the
brand.
ACT
number four
test
pencils.
Or something.
Exactly.
That'll be him. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to play for Henhouse gift cards. You can get stocked up for the big game at your neighborhood Hen House, whether it's the meat counter, the delicatessen, they got everything you need. Even the real beer on the Kansas side now as well at the Harry's Brewery. Stump the Chumps for Hen House. Coming up next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Webster defines trivia as bits of information that are of little value. Webster never played Stump the Chumps, a Kansas City institution for a quarter century. If you like sports trivia and free stuff, this is your chance. All you gotta do is Stump the Chumps. And here they are, Soren Petro, Pete Enoch, and Curtis Siebold.
All right, here we go. Your chance to win a great gift card to Hen House. Right now, all you got to do is Stump the Chumps, ask us a question of sports history. We don't know the answer. We'll give you a question back. You get that right, you win. It's that easy. We get things started with Bud. Hold on, Bud. That one doesn't work so well. I got to come
over
here. There we go, Bud. You're in the program. Stump the Chumps, Bud.
How you doing, Chumps?
Good, buddy. Bud. What do you got for us?
Basketball. Name the three head coaches that coached a national championship team and also played on a national championship team.
Oh, well, coached and played.
Coached and played on a national championship team.
Dean Smith is one.
Yeah, Kansas.
Dean Smith and Bobby Knight.
Did he with West Point?
Did Ohio State?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or Ohio State.
Ohio
State.
One of them?
And he played on that Ohio State team.
Did
he won, didn't he?
I think he did.
Sure he did.
I think Bob Knight's definitely right.
Yeah.
Dean Smith didn't lose the national championship at Kansas. He won it.
No,
he was on the winning team.
Oh, did they say the same school?
No.
No,
just play on a winning.
Dean Smith.
Okay, so we're going to go
Bobby
Dean
Knight.
Smith first.
Correct.
Bob Knight second.
Correct.
Wow. The other one's recent, isn't it? Didn't this one come up just recently?
Kevin Ollie?
Oh.
Was he on the 99?
That's good. Yeah, he played on that team.
And we're going to go Kevin Ollie third.
No.
Oh.
Kim Mulkey, women's basketball coach at Baylor.
Kevin Ollie was on that.
Look that up. Look that up because
I thought he was on that squad.
I was pretty sure it was somebody fairly recent, and that sounds right. That Kevin Ollie was there.
Nope, 91 to 95.
91 to 95.
Not bad.
Oh no!
How did you phrase the question?
Three head coaches coached national championship team and also played on a national championship team.
Yeah.
He didn't specify.
He didn't. He didn't. I don't like it. I'm not thrilled, but
how about a Super Bowl question?
Okay.
How about the Chiefs? Okay, Chiefs played their very first game ever, franchise ever, July 31st, 1960. In what city? First game ever.
First game ever.
July 31st, 1960. What city did they play in?
So a preseason game?
Well, the Texans, you mean?
Uh-huh.
I want to say Houston.
Is that what you want to say?
I don't think you do. I'll just tell you that.
Yeah. Kim Mulkey didn't play there.
I'll tell you it's
Waco.
This answer is topical, is what I'll tell you.
It is topical.
Okay. Miami?
Pretty good guess. Yeah, Miami's, you either go there or you go to San Francisco.
San Francisco Stadium. They played their first game ever.
Nice try, bud. Nice try. All right, let's go to Gavin. You're in the program, Gavin. Stop the chomps, buddy.
I hope you guys have a good trip, man. Well, this is a NFL question. Head coaches, the most consecutive seasons finishing 500 or better to begin, I mean, you know, ran a string. Who are they?
That was maybe the most convoluted way of getting to a question.
It's
ever, Gavin.
Correct.
Ever.
Questions are most
their career as an NFL head coach, and they finished 500 or better in the first a lot of seasons.
Right. So have the record for the most consecutive seasons at 500 or better to start a coaching career
in the NFL.
Yeah. Does that sound right? That I got it right?
You got it right.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, brother.
No AFL, just NFL.
I ought to be able to bumble out a little bit of something. Theoretically, it's what I'm paid to do.
I'll give you a clue. You the first guy you interviewed.
Jan Stenerud. So, NFL career. So,
Hank Stram? No, they won right off the bat.
Yeah, they won.
He said
yeah,
NFL. But, so, we're counting only NFL.
Did it with two different teams.
Yeah.
And are we counting it only NFL?
Only NFL.
So Jan,
he said two different teams, so wouldn't.
Yeah, but Jan also played for the Packers and the Vikings. So
Bud Grant. Bud Grant didn't do it when he was one team.
I used to caddy for Jan, but at any rate,
wow.
There's my hint. The number one coach hated another team.
Like, they're not even comprehending what language that last part was.
It was always 1 week.
Oh, I got to start drinking again.
I understand this. Stop giving clues because you're just messing with my mind now.
Marty never had a losing record. Cleveland,
Marty's not bad.
PC.
So you want to go there? Yeah, tell me went 7-9?
Yeah. So he would. Right, it would have been 85 to...
Yeah, that's probably
97.
Yeah, yeah, pretty good record.
All right, we'll try Marty Schottenheimer.
Way to go.
Thank you, sir. You're the man, Gavin. The clues were killing me.
Jason Anderson.
Those weren't clues, Saran.
Just remember, 1 week.
The clues were killing me.
The clues were like clues. Driving us even further from them.
They were,
stop
yeah.
giving me clues.
Yeah.
I now know less
they
than
were
I
cryptic.
Did before.
There was something that they were cryptic.
Bill, you're in the program. Set the chumps. Bill.
Yeah, hi. Hey, what's the connection between the Bosa brothers, Al Capone, and organized crime in Kansas City?
Your phone.
We have no idea what you just said.
What did you say? One more time.
I heard it was Al Capone is all I heard.
The Bosa brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's their connection with Al Capone, organized crime in Kansas City?
What brothers?
The Bosas.
Oh.
Joe and Nick
they
Bosa.
They were Italian.
Nope.
They are?
Their great-grandfather was Al Capone's right-hand guy, and he set up the outfit in Las Vegas.
Did we lose him?
We lost him. I thought they were all Italian.
There isn't even a statue of him in that town. That guy's name was Mo Green.
Mo Dalitz.
Rick, you got one job.
Save us.
I'll tell you right now, Rick, if your phone works and I can understand your question, there's a solid chance you're getting Hen House.
The bar is not even the bar isn't low. The bar is on the floor.
Oh, no.
He's not there.
Unbelievable.
He bailed. He just.
Unreal.
Oh, no.
All right, listen. Round two has got to be better than round one. We'll take a break and find out.
That was
fantastic. We will take a break and find out. You're in the program.
The program with Saren Petro.
You're wonderful. I would listen to you every day. And what would this world be without you? You have just done so much for all of us, and I thank you very much.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stump the Chumps. We're playing for gift cards to Hen House. Get stocked up for the big game at Hen House. Or just go to the delicatessen, all kinds of apps and dips and even the meals themselves. You can get it all at your neighborhood Hen House. And, of course, the real beer, you can get that as well. Grab you some Coronas or whatever your flavor might be, even on the Kansas side, as they are ready for you with everything you need for the ultimate Super Bowl party. 913-3810-810. Let's see, waiting patiently is Nick. You're in the program, Nick. Stump the Chumps.
All right, guys. I don't think it's going to be too difficult for you gentlemen, but I think it'll be a fun nugget for you guys to use on Radio Row next week.
Okay.
Prior to the start of this season, what percentage of Chiefs franchise victories were won by an ex-49er quarterback?
What percentage of their franchise victories?
Correct. I'll give you guys give everybody a window, so I don't know.
Right.
Plus or minus 2% for like a
2%? Wow, that's awful generous of you. I mean,
plus or minus the 4% window.
Yeah.
Tittle, Montana, Bono.
Tittle played for the Chiefs?
Oh, I thought you said just any franchise.
No. Of the Chiefs franchise.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Chiefs franchise.
Smith, Gerbach.
Tittle played for the Chiefs.
DeBerg.
Bono, Montana, and
Montana, and
that's it.
Yeah, those five.
Somebody else thinks the Belldozer counts.
Not me. Ben's the doofus who came up with that. Sweet Tesla.
Tesla sucks too.
But now you say
your car sucks too.
Yeah, your car sucks too.
What's that?
No. We're just
think it's over 10%.
15%. 10%.
Let's go 15. We'll go 15%.
33%, actually
32.8%. Wow. Did not see that coming.
51% were played elsewhere, and 16% have been drafted by the Chiefs.
Who was the first pair of brothers to play in the Super Bowl? There was a local connection.
Oh, man. I think the Barbers, but no. Local connection in Kansas City, brothers.
I'll give you a hint. One of them did play for the Chiefs. That's a pretty good hint. This does go back a ways.
Yeah. I was hoping you guys would be gracious. That was a fun nugget for you guys to use next week. I'm not great on trivia. you guys got me.
All right. Nice try. Begging will get you nothing. I'm going to tell you that right now.
It's like crying to get out of a ticket, which I've tried before. It doesn't work.
Trying to get out of some other embarrassing moments with tears.
Saying. Jerry and Gloucester Richardson. Yeah. Jerry for the Colts in Super Bowl III.
Gloucester
for the Chiefs. Richardson.
Gloucester was one of Hank's favorites.
Gloucester. Tell him 65 toss power track.
Boy, Hank Stram loved Gloucester Richardson. Just loved him.
913-3810-810. Let's go next to Dick. You're in the program, Dick. Stump the Chumps, my friend.
Yeah, can you tell me who was the most recent Rookie of the Year player selected to the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Most recent Rookie of the Year award winner to go into the Hall of Fame?
Wow. Yes.
Larry Walker?
Did he? I don't remember him winning it. Do you?
Uh-uh.
Derek Jeter? Did Jeter win it?
Jeter did win it, didn't he?
He might have been.
I mean, he was coming up with Nomar and
96.
A-Rod. And
ooh, 96 would have been a rough year to win Rookie of the Year with Ray Rod.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A-Rod, I think, was Rookie of the Year.
He was MVP. I saw it in the
Rookie of
rundown
the Year
of his accomplishments.
I can't imagine Larry Walker was.
I don't remember him winning it.
Sure
it doesn't
Jeter,
jump
though?
At me as being one. I think A-Rod would have won it that year.
Oh. What about, did Chipper Jones win?
In, though?
Chipper did, didn't he?
I think so.
That's not bad. You want to go down that road?
Yeah, sure.
We'll try Chipper Jones.
Well, I've got Mike Piazza in 1993 for the Dodgers Rookie of the Year.
Would have been after
Chipper. What round was Mike Piazza drafted in?
I don't know what round. He was the recent Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
to my
I know. That's my question to you, Dick. What round was Mike Piazza drafted in? It's significant because it's quite unique. particularly for a Hall of Famer?
Close counts at all?
My
on the button or close counts?
I give him close.
I say the 11th round.
It's not close enough.
No, 64th. I'm going to double check it here. I want to make sure, but 64th is what, as I recall. Let me see. He was 62nd. 62nd. So that is not close, Dick. Thank you. Nice try, my friend. 913-3810-810. Doug, you're in the program. Stump the Chumps, Doug.
Yes, hi. So we had a rivalry brawl this week in college basketball.
Sure.
But compared to 1961, it was absolutely nothing. In that 61 brawl between KU and Missouri in Columbia, according to the Tribune, how did it start? Which two players did it start?
I don't care. This better be
barely
like.
I remember.
Like, do you have any? I mean, why would it be?
Bill KU Bridges player punched a Missouri player.
Bill Bridges and.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
It wasn't even that big a deal. Really.
When I was in the fifth grade, Stevie punched Bobby.
This wasn't a memorable brawl, I'll tell you.
I was in seventh grade, I punched Scott McGee. We tussled before lunch.
Did you?
We did.
Who got the better of it?
What a show today, huh?
Neither one of us. We were 12. We didn't do a fight.
Let's go to Rick. You're in the program. Stump the Chumps, Rick.
Yeah, hey, Garoppolo and Mahomes have the new record for the highest winning percentage of opposing quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. The 63-17 record combined for 79%.
Wow.
The former record was 67%. Set by what two quarterbacks?
Montana Elway?
McNair and had McNair been around long enough to pile up a bunch of losses to counter
Kurt Warner? Well,
Kurt Warner and Tom Brady. He was 10-5. Warner was had played two seasons. His third.
Yeah, we'll try Kurt Warner and Tom Brady.
Close. Tom Brady and Russell Wilson.
Wow. Who's the only? Let's see.
About an Olympic question.
What's the Chiefs' record when Patrick Mahomes leads them in rushing?
3-0.
What is the Chiefs' record now?
Oh, 4-0 now.
There you go. You get a gift card.
Finally.
You get a gift card. Rock, you get a gift card. Derek, you get a gift card. Brian, you got to earn it. What do you got?
Hey, this quarterback has the most passing touchdowns without winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, I don't know. Who is it?
Dan Marino.
You get a gift card. That was pretty damn generous.
Good.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, Joe Montana has the highest career passer rating in Super Bowl history. What quarterbacks are second and third on that list? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.